Welcome everybody to Hebrew Club, and glad to see everybody here. The court is getting busy as our numbers kind of come and go every week, so I'm glad that you guys are actually here and stick in and keep talking it up with your friends and just remind them all you got to do is sit in here and eat lunch and listen as we go through, and I even make copies for people.
Yeah.
We are going to start in Micah chapter 2, so we got through the first one. Thanks to Will for getting us through the last two verses of chapter 1 last week. And chapter 2 then continues in what the so-called Book of Doom, which is in the first part of the Book of Micah. And you can see how he'll now go into detail in some of the kind of broader themes that were in the first chapter. And he'll take a look at certain groups and groups of people and status of people here. Okay, so we start with verse 1. Hoy choshve avin. U'po'ale ra al mish kevotam. Hoy, as soon as you see that, we translate as woe, all right, usually bad news. And you never know whether the prophet's being sarcastic or whether he's sincere, if he's actually grieving about this, or whether he is more sarcastic and judgmental in tone, all right? So I'll let you guys decide that for yourselves. Woe, you who plot. So again, that choshve is from chashav. It's a simple call, participle, in construct, plural, okay? And I'm translating as a substantive. Woe to you who plot or plan aven, iniquity. In the same form with po'ale and workers. This is again a call, participle, masculine construct, plural. And you who work evil, al mishkevotam, on your beds. Again, see the root shakav, to lie down, plus a mem makes a noun out of it. All right? Then the next line, Be'or ha-boker ya'asuha ki'esh le'el yadam. In light, or in the light of the morning. All right? They do it. Again, referring to the iniquity that they planned. All right? For it is as God, and now notice the subject of that yesh is yadam, for their hand or their power is as God. And a lot of translations will say, you know, for they have the power to do it or something like that, which is kind of the sense that Micah is trying to get through. So you notice what he says, people will plan things at night while they're sleeping, and then they actually have the power to carry it out in the morning.
So it's a form of parallelism? It's like, you know, this happens and this happens.
Right. So you can see kind of the sequence. First they think about it and plan it, and then they do it in the morning. So it's like first thing up in the morning, okay, we can go do it. It's kind of a... And you notice the position of power, that what they plan they can carry out. And notice how he already is characterizing it as aven and as ra. Okay? We'll see those terms repeated in a number of places in Micah. Okay? Verse 2. Vechamdu sadot vegazalu uvatim venasau. Here's the kind of the vav plus a perfect from Chamad. And they desire. And so he's going into more detail and into what the evil is, the content of it. And so they desire sadot, fields. The gazalu, and so they rob. Okay, gazal means to rob or to tear away, but in this sense it would be to steal. All right, and houses, namely, notice how the verb is supplied, chamad. So, and they desire fields, and they rob them, and they desire houses, and they take them. Venasau. See, so again, notice how kind of matter of fact Micah is laying out the behavior of these people. Okay? And again, the next line continues in this vein. Ve'ashiku gever uveto ve'ish ve'nachalato. And they, from ashak sometimes means to oppress, or here in this case it probably means something like to defraud or extort. So, and they extort a gever, a man, and his household. And a man and his inheritance. See? So notice how verse 2 details the plans and the action of the people described in verse 1. And so you go from the imperfect at the second line of verse 1 to vav plus perfects all the way through as he's saying, they do it, okay? Namely, as he goes into detail what that is, and so they desire and they rob and houses and they take and they defraud a man of his goods, okay? Questions through verse 2 about any form? So far, so good. It gets a lot trickier here. Okay, here you get the la-kain. Notice, again, after you get an account like accusing people or something like that, the la-kain signals, here comes a declaration or something like that. Okay, therefore, ko-amar Yahweh. Therefore, thus says Yahweh. Here it comes. Hinani choshev al ha-mishpacha hazot ra'ah. Look I. Notice the hine, again, call your attention to something. And then followed by the participle. Notice the play here. These guys were choshve aven, so Yahweh is doing his own plotting. Behold, I am plotting against ha-mishpacha hazot, this family, or this clan. Notice how he refers to Israelites or certain groups within Israel, okay, as a mishpacha. I'm planning ra'ah against them, disaster or calamity. Notice how he's turning around the ra in verse 1. He's going to do ra'ah against them. All right. In the second line, asher lo tamish misham zav rotekem, which you will not remove from there. All right. Tamish is a hifil form from the hollow verb mush. Mush means to depart in the call. It's an intransitive verb. Tamish means, notice, it takes the direct object. And so it means to remove something. So, which you will not remove from there, zavrotekem, your necks. Okay? And from there means the predicament that he is plotting against them. So he's going to plot evil, which you will not be able to remove your necks from there.
It's like a resumptive pronoun.
Yes. Yeah, and notice yeah, that's kind of interesting now that you mention it. I'm plotting evil against this family.
Resumptive adverb?
Yeah, from which, right, from which, which not we would be able to remove from there. So the misham is resumptive. So we would, in good English, from which you will not remove your necks. That's right. That's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up.
It's kind of like your necks are on the line here.
Exactly. All right, so that's where we get our saying, next on the line. All right, and then the last line of verse 3, velo telku roma kiet ra'ahi. And again, the telek is just from halak, a simple call imperfect. And not will you walk. Now, roma is a hapax here, simply an adverb. Notice you can see the root room, to be high. Okay, the hifil means to lift up. Here's, this is just an adverb, which means, which you, and you will not walk proudly or arrogantly. Roma. Kind of a, you know, Hebrew doesn't have a lot of adverbs, but here's one of them. For time, an evil time, eight ra'ah, it is. Okay. Any questions through verse 3? Any form? All right, here we continue into it. Bayom hahu yisale kem mashal. Here we go. V'naha nehi nihya. Amar shadot neshadunu. Chelek ami yamir. Okay, let's stop there. In that day, or on that day. Now notice yissa is from nasa, call imperfect. There's no subject because it's an impersonal subject. So, very literally in Hebrew, it would be, on that day, one will lift up or raise. But in English, notice the idiom is to turn that into a passive form. In that day, there will be lifted up or raised against you. That's kind of when we have an impersonal construction, namely one without a subject. That's how we form it usually. So, a lot of translations actually do that when they're translating, all right? And the mashal is the subject, or the object. So in that day, a mashal will be raised up against you, or one will raise up against you a mashal, a proverb. Now notice how, remember we saw already in chapter 1 how Micah loves word plays and all those kinds of things. So notice this. It's caused a lot of trouble. There's a lot of debate on this. Vanaha, that is actually a vav plus a perfect form. The nun he he verb. All right, you don't see it very often. It means to lament or to cry out in a lament. Nahi is a noun that means lament. Okay? Now, nihya, some people parse that as the nifal of the verb form haya, which, and they would translate, it has happened. But a lot of, and I like the suggestion of other commentaries that suggest that what it's doing is repeating the consonants of the previous words. And it does that to emphasize, to make a kind of a superlative, so that you would translate it something like, and one will lament the saddest of laments, or something like that. See? And if you'll notice, there is a flag on the play, 4A. There's, the editors want you to delete it because of dittography, but I think that if you see the function of it poetically for that effect, it kind of makes a really interesting, it has an interesting force to it if you do it like that, okay? And then the Amar introduces the what is going to be said in the Mashal or in the Nehi. So notice in that first line that Mashal and Nehi are parallel, see? So a Mashal will be lifted up or a Nehi will be lamented. See, one will lament a Nehi, all right? Amar, and again, you almost have to translate this as, some manuscripts have a vav there, and he will say, or he will say, even though it's a perfect form. Shadod neshadunu. This is from the root shadad. Again, this is, if I give you that this is the root from shadad, what form is shadod?
Everybody's
it's infinitive absolute, just like katal katol. Okay, and then you get neshadunu, same root, all right, same root, shadad, that double line form. So notice that this is a nifal form, okay? So, and this is first common plural perfect. So it's really destroyed, we are destroyed, or, yeah, okay? Destroyed, neshadunu. So notice that you have a call, infinitive absolute, followed by the nifal verb form. Okay? And something like, we are completely destroyed. We are wiped out. All right? Chelek, the portion of my people, Yami, that means to exchange. He exchanges. I think it's referring to Yahweh. So the lament is, the actual lament is, we are totally destroyed. The portion of my people, he exchanges. And this is a hifil form from mur. Mur means, again, to depart or to remove, to change. And so in the hifil, he exchanges, and chelek is actually the object. So the portion of my people, he removes. Ake, how yamish li, how he has removed it, Li, from me. Now, again in Hebrew, here's a little note that you should be aware of, that the prepositions in Hebrew don't necessarily follow the same usage in English. So notice, you learned the le preposition to mean to or for, concerning. Min means from or because, or, you know, it has various other uses. Be means in. Al means on upon, and those are the basic usages. But sometimes Hebrew will use a leh where you would expect a min. Hmm. All right, and sometimes those two can exchange themselves. And a lot of times you'll see al for leh, you know. So the bait, the min, and the lamed, they can sometimes be exchanged, those prepositions. And so that's why most English translations well, Yamish is used in the same way as it was up in verse 3. He removes, and now notice the portion is what it's being referred to, Chela. He removes the portion from me. Leshovev, Shovev is just a noun for apostate. To an apostate, Sadenu, our fields, Yechalek, he apportions. Okay, and that's a PL form from Chalak. Notice the play between Chelek in the previous line and Chalak at the end here. All right, so Micah is very good at that. And so that's why you get this Shadod Neshadunu, Chelek Ami Yamir, Eik Yamishli, Leshovev Sadenu Yechalek. Kind of. And notice that the Chalek kind of tells you, signals to you, okay, he's finishing up a thought here. When you get inclusios and repetitions, you can see, okay, kind of a thought unit is being divided, and that's usually the case. All right. And so notice that's the first lakain that we got back in verse 3. Here comes the second one.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
The third word in verse 4, that nasa,
yeah.
What would the form be if it was nifal?
If it was a nifal, that nun would have a full vowel under it. So nagash, yin nagesh, yin nasa.
Yin nasa.
Yeah, so notice, so you're actually...
it wouldn't get assimilated then?
Right, because remember, the nun only assimilates when there's a shva under it.
Okay.
Silent shva. When it has to take its full position, that's why for like the first nuns, the nifal imperfects are regular. Yinagesh, tinagesh, tinagashi, that kind of thing.
Okay, thanks.
Verse 5, here's the next one. Lakein lo yihye laka. Therefore, not will there be for you mashlik hevel begoral. What's the root of mashlik?
Shalak.
Shalak, to throw. And here, notice it's a hifil form, hifil participle, and it means one throwing. It's used as another substantive. Therefore, there will not be for you one who throws a chevel. Here it means rope. Okay? Begoral, by lot. Now pause there. There will not be one who throws a rope by lot. Namely, when land was apportioned, you know, you'd throw the lot where it should be divided and you'd mark it off. And that's what it means by a rope cast by lot. Okay, you know, you're going to cast lots for where your portion is going to be. So basically what he's saying is the land that you have robbed, you know, it's going to be taken away from you. There's not going to be any to divide. So notice it's kind of this declaration of what's going to happen. And notice where in the rest of verse 5, Bikhal Adonai, in the congregation of Yahweh. So again, the whole line, therefore there will not be for you one who throws a rope by lot among the congregation of Yahweh. Okay? Any questions through 5? Okay, let's get to verse 6. And we're going to stop at verse 6 because after verse 6, I mean, because this is a tricky and interesting one. And you see him playing with words again. Let me read it. Al tatifu yatifun. Lo yatifu la'ela. Lo yisag kelimot. All right. So let's take this. The major word is that tatifu. Notice. Everybody see now, and Will, you can see this clearly, the assimilation of the nun. This is from the root nataf. And remember that the dagesh in the tet tells you that that's a nun that has been assimilated. So it's tan-tif. So this is a hifil imperfect form. Nataf, the main meaning, means to drop or to drip. And it's used of honey dripping, you know, rain dripping. But here it's used for people talking. Okay, it also occurs in Amos and in Ezekiel in similar contexts and sometimes in parallel with Hinave, to prophesy. And so some will translate it strictly as prophesy, do not prophesy. Others see Micah being really sarcastic here. And we'll translate it as something like when we say someone is speaking uselessly, they're speaking drivel, right? Or they're you know we have other kind of words for kind of useless speech. And so you'll see translation. Jibber jabber, yeah. Something like that.
Spinning?
What's that?
Spinning?
Yeah. Well, it's more like you're just speaking dribble, something unimportant, just like, you know.
Your mouth is moving, but there's nothing.
Just nothing meaningful coming out. And so some will translate like that. Do not speak dribble. They drivel. Alright. Now, who's speaking and who's listening in this verse is open for a lot of debate. When you look in a commentary, they will give you a number of options here. So we'll just try to cut through it as best we can. The first two words, do not dribble, the first three are kind of easy to understand. Do not dribble, they dribble. Or do not prophesy, they prophesy. So in other words, or even more general, do not speak or talk, they talk or they say. In other words, the evildoers are telling Micah, and notice it's plural, Micah and other prophets, don't talk this way. All right. So notice he follows up. They shall not prophesy or drivel concerning these things, namely everything that Micah has said up to this point about the destruction of Judah and Israel. Because remember, it was convention that no, Jerusalem would be safe. There's going to be peace. And the prophets kept prophesying there's not going to be peace. All right, so that's usually how this is interpreted. Now, the next line is real tough because you just don't know where Micah has started speaking again within this verse. And you don't know where the evildoers are still speaking. But we can at least parse it. Lo tisag, that is another niphal, but it's from the root sug, which means to depart or to remove or to turn away. All right, and then kelimot means reproaches. All right, so it's something like, not will turn away from reproaches. That's how a lot of translations do that. He will not turn away from reproaches, namely God. So in other words, the whole verse, the evildoers say, do not dribble. They dribble, okay? They shall not say these things or dribble these things. Namely, I'm saying that this is what Micah says. They shall not dribble about these things. Not will he be turned from reproaches, namely God. That's only one way to solve the problem, okay? There's other ways that suggest that the evildoers are still speaking. Some amend that verb to a different verb from nasag, to go back, move back from, and then interpret and translate it in different ways. Okay, so there's an awful big conversation behind that verse that we can't do. Yeah, Will.
Kalam, that can also be like shame. Is that correct?
Yes.
So if you make it plural, it might be like intensive because it's an abstract thing. It like could great be. Shame
it
will
could
not
be.
Depart. That
right.
seems to be...
not. It could be. Yeah, if you make it the subject, you're going to have gender discord or number discord, but you can solve the number issue by...
just saying it's Hebrew.
Yeah, well, yeah. That ode ending is sometimes in certain dialects... feminine singular, that ode ending. Most don't suggest that for this text, though. And so you're going to see translation. Some make those two... Notice both clauses start with lo there. So here's how one translation does. So here's Micah talking. If they do not prophesy concerning these things, God will not be turned from reproaches. See, so they make the relationship between those two clauses an if-then clause. And that's just kind of one possibility. So you're dealing on a number of levels with who's speaking, who's being spoken to, when do the evildoers speak, when does Micah speak, and what are the relationship of the clauses to each other. That's kind of an interesting verse.
Yeah. How justified is it to add that preposition from, though?
It's not that uncommon in Hebrew to not have prepositions, especially in prophetic speech. Remember, you have that very concise speech. Some of them say, use other just like you would have to add the ifs, you know, you have this understanding. And that's what makes the verse difficult. That's why there's so many different possibilities for it. Okay? All right, very good. We will stop here. Thank you. And again, keep telling people to come and join the fun with us.
Thanks.